we're trying to look at different ways in which God works in our lives so that we can become the masterpiece that God intends for us to become. You remember that we talked about it before, how God is working in each one of us and changing this and working there to make us conform into the image He has for us, into the masterpiece that you and I were created to be. Well, we've looked at some pretty tough areas these last few weeks. We've talked about restitution. We've talked about how grudges hurt ourselves. We've been reminded how important and how difficult it is to keep our thought life under control. We've done battle with pride. Last week we looked at how easy it is to slip away from absolute truth and fudge things. Today we're going to look at one more spiritual discipline, something that might come as a bit of a surprise, and that is the spiritual discipline of being a peacemaker. Now, it doesn't take much observation to realize that there is an awful lot of conflict in our world. I mean, if you just listen to the news for 10 seconds, you will find conflict. Some of the conflict is rather minor, and some of it seems like it has little consequence, and yet other conflict is quite devastating. We see conflict in homes, in offices, at schools. We see conflict among spouses, between siblings, employers and employees. Just about anywhere, people are often at each other's throats. It seems like we've become a society where we can't stand each other anymore. And sometimes, unfortunately, sometimes anyway, it happens in the church. And it's so easy for conflict to arise. I mean, our natural tendency when there is conflict is to react with more conflict. You might remember the musical production, Fiddler on the Roof. We find the Russians of 1905 telling the people in Tevye's little village that they had 3 days to vacate or their homes would be destroyed. One of Tevye's friends cries out in anger, "We should defend ourselves, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." And to which Tevye insightfully replied, "Very good, that way the whole world will be blind and toothless." Our natural instinct is to fight back. If we're honest with ourselves, many of us would admit that it doesn't take much to get us going. We're quick to react, oftentimes much more forcefully than necessary. And the problem is when we react, we only drive ourselves or other people further apart. The fact is that it is easier to drive people apart than it is to bring them together. And that's why peacemaking is considered a discipline, because it doesn't happen naturally. But it is something that is so important and so dear to God. We're going to look at that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. We looked at this verse months ago, several months ago, when we were doing the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus' own words were, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." Think about that for a minute. Sons of God. You know, people do all sorts of things because they want to make a name for themselves, right? And here Jesus says, you can have one of the greatest names in all history. You could be called the Son of God. What does it take? Being a peacemaker. Peacemaking is important to the heart of God. Take a look at what Paul wrote to the Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. He says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." If it is possible, as much as you can help it, as much as you can do about it, live at peace with everyone. That's a good goal for us. God's Word takes peacemaking quite seriously. And in contrast to Tevye's friend, who wanted an eye for an eye, James chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, it tells us, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace will raise a harvest of righteousness." Is peacemaking important to God? Absolutely. What an amazing statement this is. The more I read it, the more I'm just in awe that people like myself and yourself, as imperfect as we are capable of raising a harvest of righteousness. That's phenomenal. That people like us who are imperfect are able to raise a harvest of righteousness. How does it happen? It happens when we embrace peacemaking. Scripture is telling us that there is something so special about peacemaking that it is so much in line with God's character and God's desire and God's will for us that when we become peacemakers, we are first of all being called sons of God, we are showing wisdom that comes from heaven, and our efforts will result in a harvest of righteousness. What are we planting? What are we sowing? What we sow in our lives and the lives of others can result in righteousness. You know, we grumble and complain about, oh, those people are terrible, and how could they do that, and young people today, and whatever, whatever. And, you know, why isn't the people, you know, living better, and so on and so forth. And yet the Scripture tells us one way to harvest righteousness is to sow peace. To be peacemakers. It should be obvious then that being a peacemaker is an important part of our Christian lives because God is deeply concerned about our interpersonal relationships. How we relate to one another is something that is entirely on God's mind. Remember the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God. Yeah, we got that figured out. And love your neighbor as yourself. God is concerned about our interpersonal relationships. It seems to me that anything we can do to enhance these relationships that can bring peace, especially among believers, is a good thing. Particularly when it is so easy for division to occur. You know, the opposite of this is true as well. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 19. You could read the whole section, but I'm just going to read a part of it. It tells us that there are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Among them is a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. That is something that the Lord hates. Just as much as God loves peacemaking and peacemakers, so He hates, He finds it detestable, those who stir up dissension among brothers. Quite serious business. Just as great is God's hatred towards those who stir dissension and conflict, that's how great is His appreciation for those who are peacemakers. So it would seem that one of our priorities as Christians is to be a peacemaker. Well, how do we become peacemakers? First thing we need to do, and you probably already have figured this out, is that we need to have peace in our own relationships. Before we could be a peacemaker in somebody else's life, our own life has to be characterized by peace. As the scripture in Romans said, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with all men. Keith Drury put it well in his book. We've been following along in his book these number of weeks. Spiritual Disciplines for Ordinary People. This is what he said. He said, friction occurs in interpersonal relationships when we spend time with people different from ourselves. The shy, ingrown person is irritated by the outgoing, boisterous, noisy person. The orderly person thinks the disorganized person is a slob. Energetic, hard drivers think easygoing people are lazy wimps. The easygoing person returns the assessment, considering the hard driver a fascist dictator who runs roughshod over everyone who gets in his way. And it's easy to see how we get at each other's throats. And I can tell you there's a lot of truth in that statement. Many times the breakdown of peace is nothing more than a bunch of little annoyances that we allow to fester. And I know I've got mine. Some of you know them already. Don't be late for an appointment. And don't keep the windows open when the heat is on. Arr, those things get me. You want to see me get all tied up in knots? Okay, stuff like that. Sometimes I overreact. I'm sorry. And I need to be careful because, like anyone else, I can make a big deal out of little things. And of course, not everything is little. There are some serious conflicts as well. But even then, we need to understand that we can have peace even though we have very different ideas. It's essential. And the key, of course, is respect. We don't have to have 100% agreement in order to have peace. But we need to have respect for one another. This is true in families. It's true in the church. In fact, having peace with someone you disagree with, even disagree with greatly, is a sign of maturity. I'm not a psychologist, but my guess is that those who argue the most might be the ones who are the most insecure. They are busy trying to convince everyone else how right they are so they feel better about themselves. But in the process, they will often sow dissension. We need to be careful not to sow dissension, but to sow peace if we want a harvest of righteousness. Remember Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, where Jesus made peacemaking, reconciliation, a priority even over worship. He said, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Later on in Matthew 18, verse 15, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go, show him his fault just between the two of you. And if he listens to you, you have won your brother over. The whole point of all this is that God desires peace between his people. Between all people. Because if we want a good relationship with God, we need to have good relationships with one another. We can't have a relationship with God that is what it should be when we are at odds with one another. But peacemaking isn't just about our own relationships. That's the first part. The second part is that there is also a place for us as Christians to be peacemakers between others who are not getting along. In other words, we don't just look at ourselves. We start by looking at ourselves. But there is a place for us to be involved in the lives of others. The first thing we need to do, of course, is make sure our own relationships are in order. Jesus made the graphic illustration of someone taking a speck out of someone else's eye while there's a plank in his own eye. We don't want that to happen. But that's not to say we can't be peacemakers in other people's lives when they are in conflict. How do we do that? When do we do that? We only do that after praying. If we've been praying and we feel God prompting us to get involved, then we need to become peacemakers. This doesn't mean that we need to stick our nose in everybody's situation, but when and where it is possible, and particularly where we have honestly prayed about the situation and feel God would use us as an instrument of peace in the lives of others, then we do need to be involved. Remember Paul, what he wrote to the Ephesians. He said, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And it is in the interests of others to be at peace with one another. We are living in a society that says, live and let live. Mind your own business. And while there is some truth in that, by and large, we need to be involved with each other and in each other's lives. It's called accountability. It's called help and encouragement. Of course, we need to do this with a great deal of humility and a whole lot of godly wisdom. But wisdom that comes from above, as we already seen in Romans, loves peace. And that is our calling, to be peacemakers. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, it says that God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You see how it all comes together? We have this calling to be reconcilers. And as we close the service this morning, I want to encourage you to take a moment to consider, first of all, what your own relationships are like. Is there peace? Is there peace in your home? Is there peace with your coworkers? If you're a student, as much as it depends on you, is there peace with the other students or the teachers? Is there anyone that we need to reconcile with? Now, I understand that sometimes we can't force reconciliation. We can only offer it. Have we tried? Is there peace in your own heart? And secondly, is it possible that perhaps God would use you to be an agent of reconciliation, of peace in the lives of others? And that's something for us to prayerfully consider and to be open to. Because God said that blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God. And only then will we be able to raise a harvest of righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we recognize how easy it is for dissension to be stirred up. Our sinful nature just thrives on that, Lord God. And yet you call us to something completely different. You call us, Lord, to be peacemakers. You call us, Lord, to live at peace with one another. And Father, that often goes against the grain of our nature. But Lord God, you desire something better for us. You desire for us to be a reflection of the holy God. You desire for us, Lord God, to be a masterpiece that you've created. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help me, Lord, first of all, to check my own relationships, Lord, that they be ones of peace. And then, Lord, as you lead me, as you lead us, as a church, carefully in humility and under godly wisdom, Lord. May we be peacemakers in the lives of others, Lord God. Father God, all this is for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.